Do you ever slip into quiet spiritual pride because you think you've stayed more faithful than everyone else? In a world drifting from truth, God still keeps a hidden remnant. People who refuse to bow to the idols of this age. In this devotional from Romans chapter 11, discover why you're not saved by your performance, your nation, or your spiritual record, but by one thing alone, God's astounding grace that chooses you anyway. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. I hope you're having an excellent Monday morning. Maybe you're drinking a cup of coffee, opening up the scriptures with me, or you're driving into work and you're getting some word of God plugged into your heart, whichever it might be. I'm glad that you're here today. Hey, if you're enjoying this series called Israel, the Church and God's Sovereignty, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really does help us achieve our goal. And you say, what's the goal? Well, we are changing our hearts so that we change the public square. And the only thing I know to change our hearts is to get into the Word of God each and every day, to pray, to talk to God, allow the Spirit of God to move on us and through us. So I hope that you're enjoying this series. Let's dive into Romans chapter 11. And today's question is this. Do you ever feel better than others because you stayed faithful? And how does grace correct that? Okay, so sometimes we can have a little bit of spiritual pride going on in our hearts and our minds, and we need grace to correct that spiritual pride. But let's look at this verse in Romans chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 2. It says, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. He's speaking of Israel. God has not rejected Israel, the people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? So here we have Elijah, a Jew, pleading against God, against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have turned down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? In other words, what did God say to them? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is not no longer grace. So Paul is making an argument. And in this argument, he's saying, hey, in the same way that God had set aside 7,000 in Elijah's day, there are Jews today who are set aside. This is where many of you come up and say, I've had you do this on a weekly basis. You've said, but look at Israel. Look how sinful they are. Look how this and that they are. And I first start off with, let's not have spiritual pride. I mean, look at America and the mistakes that we have made as well. Every nation has its dirty laundry. That's just a part of life. I don't freak out about it. I still love my country. I still love the United States of America. It's not that I don't have an unrealistic expectation of us. I think I'm pretty well-versed in where we are as a nation. But in the same way that God set aside 7,000 in Elijah's day, God has set aside those who have honored and glorified Yeshua, those who are Jews, who are Messianic Jews who love Jesus. And God has a remnant. And so he, in the same way, he has done this for us today. So as you go throughout your day, God always has someone. So when spiritual pride comes in, you need to remind yourself, you're not a big deal. You really aren't. God is so much bigger than you and has a plan so much greater than your plan, and that you are not a big deal. In fact, you'll have a lot less conflict in your life the more that you understand that you are humbly placed in the presence of God versus you are in a place of arrogance and pride and entitled to be in the presence of God. Number two, there's always at this present time a remnant. He always has a small portion of the public square set aside for himself. And so those who have not bowed their knee to Baal, those who have not worshiped the false gods of this world, and that's for the Jews and for the Gentiles. So just as the Jews have been partially blinded, we're going to see that here in a few moments, a couple of days from now. In the same way, we have the apostasy of the church. I mean, let's not forget that Paul to Timothy writes this. He says, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth." So what does it say? It says, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. I think we're living in those days, that there's times where people are going to walk away from the faith. Or Paul in 2 Timothy says it this way, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his proper appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." And we're seeing that. We're seeing that over and over. But the reality is, even though we are seeing that, let's not allow spiritual pride to come in. God has a bride who's going to be faithful, who's going to be purified, and God has a nation, the apple of his eyes. He always has a remnant. So let's go back to Romans, and we will look at that last little part. It talks about grace. A remnant according to God's gracious choice. Think about that. His choice is based upon his foreknowledge. We studied that a couple days ago. And we see that he foreknew you and he foreknew me. He knows everything. He has foreknowledge. And it says that remnant is not by works. So if you're a Jewish older brother, I want to encourage you. You are not saved by works. You are saved by grace. It is a free gift of God that you do not deserve. Now, this is where we have to understand. Paul is making the argument that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says that in chapter 3. And that salvation is God's idea. That is for the Jew and for the Gentile. So when you ask the question, well, Israel isn't holy enough, isn't righteous enough, isn't this enough, you have a false gospel. The gospel isn't that God has a nation because the people were so perfect, just like God hasn't saved the church because we're so perfect. God has chose us before the foundations of the world. Why? As a gift of grace to you and to me. Isn't that powerful? Have you received God's gift of grace today? It's not by works. And he says it very clearly. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we are saved by grace as a gift. While we are still sinners, you died for us. And while Israel is still in rebellion, you're calling them out of their rebellion to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know there's only one way to the Father. That's through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we pray, have your way. Convict us of our sin. Turn us to the way that you want us to go. We love you, Lord. God, we thank you for your goodness, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.